The Bible reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites have reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord.
There's some questions of life that we have inside of us that just don't seem to be quiet. Questions like, where do those little bits of fluff come from that in the bottom of your pockets? How come coat hangers seem to breed when you close the door in the closet? And why, when I'm in a rush, do I always pick the slow lane in the shopping aisles? Why do I always pick the slow lane in the traffic when I want to get here quick, like this morning on Darlington Interchange? Why do I always pick the slow driver who's always got all the time in the world to go somewhere and I don't? Do you have those same questions? I have those questions and bigger questions as well, you'll be happy to know. I have questions about God. I have questions about how things unfold in this world. And a few weeks ago, I asked our church to put down some of their questions of faith that you might have. And I got a whole pile of pretty solid questions to work through. So today we begin the Hey God series. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to work through some of those questions and open them out and see if we can come to some light, some answer over to what to those questions as we wrestle with them. This morning's question is a complex one, and it's a combo of a whole pile of different ones that some of you put down, and I've put them together to see if we can make sense of it in a bigger spectrum. And the question is simply this: how do we know God's will for our life, and then how do we follow it? How do we know God's will for our life, and then how do we follow it? And the subtext is, how do we know that we are hearing from God? Before I get too far into that, there's two things I want to note, then I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into it. The first is this. There's actually going to be a change on Sunday nights, and the Sunday night format will change. We do actually want to further reach and connect with our young adults, so we've instigated some changes that we hope will help. Now, in this, we're not saying it's a young adult service only. Now, I, for one, attend regularly, and I've well and truly moved out of the young adults cohort. So if it's your regular habit to be there, then I encourage you to keep doing it. If it works with you and your family or whatever sport or whatever's going on, then that's fine. But if you're a young adult, I encourage you to come along and to check it out. We hope that it will be edifying for you and that afterwards there will be some good connection, good hospitality, that things will go well for you. The second thing I want to say relates to our offerings. As I'm sure you can see around you, and particularly this morning, this church is picking up pace with the way in which it connects with the community and the way in which it is meeting the needs of the community. I've never before in all my life been in a church where the opportunities before us are so great. We have so many opportunity. We're opportunity rich, we are people rich, and we are resource poor. And for the last quite a few years, we've been on a savings curve, and we've turned over every rock, we've searched behind every couch to find savings, and we've been cost-cutting as much as possible. We've sold off things, we've discontinued other things to enact savings. Some of you would have noticed some of these changes, and some of them, a few of them, align with our push towards being environmentally responsible. At this stage, there are no more cost savings that we can make. So this morning, I want to inform you that we are running really lean in terms of our budget, which means we have no capacity to meet needs that arise. I know normally I talk about giving at the end of the financial year, the beginning of the financial year, and I give you lots of weeks' notice, and we'll talk about it and say, if you don't want to hear about it, don't come. So I'm springing this on you. I know it's not easy to give. I know it's not easy to give to a big organisation like Seeds where it's difficult to see exactly where all the money is going. Come to the congregational meeting and you'll find out exactly where it's all going. I know we all have obligations on our lives, but also know this, that for some almost miraculous reason at this moment, God is opening up doors for us to work in. And we are increasingly unable to take advantage of what God is putting before us because we cannot fund it. So I ask you this morning, would you consider what you give to the church? Would you consider, if you don't already, giving regularly to the work of Seeds? Would you help with the financial resources so that we can step into what God is putting before us? We cannot do it without all of us. The church bank details are on the welcome card. If you want to give online, I encourage you to do so. Or after all morning services, you can use your credit card at the office. Let me pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that meeting here this morning is no accident. That being in this place at this particular time is a divine appointment that you are keeping. We know that you are in this place. We know that you are meeting our needs. Do so, Lord Jesus, through my words. Take the simple things that I offer and use them to edify all of us, to change lives, so that we might be your church in this place and this community, giving witness to you and you alone. In your name we pray. Amen. So this morning, hey God, how do we know your will for us? How do we recognize your voice? It's a really big and complicated topic to deal with in just a few moments that I have. I've long been an admirer of a book called Experiencing God, and it's a book by a father and son who go by the name of Blackaby. And I meant to put a picture up on the screen behind me, but I forgot, so I'll put it up on my Instagram page, or we'll put it on the church Facebook page. And I've drawn from that in some parts for this morning, but the reason I mention it is because it will make a great small group study resource. So if you're part of a small group, then I encourage you to have a look at this and to work through it. This morning I want to say too, if you're not following Jesus, or if you're not connected in a way with Jesus, today's sermon might contain some concepts that you are still working through or that you don't understand. And that's fine, and I encourage you just to take what you can and leave the rest. So I've got 4 points this morning. I tried to squish them into 3 and they wouldn't work. Actually, I had 6 and I squished them into 4. So 4 points that I'm going to go through to give you a handle on what we're talking about. The first one is this. God is at work around us and is pursuing a loving relationship with you. When I read that first point out and you read it there behind me, you might be inclined to say, well, yes, I know that, Jonathan. Why are you telling me stuff that I already know? But let's just think about it a bit deeper, because there's a lot of times we act on it, we act as if that is not true. But it's the premise of what we're talking about today. If we don't understand this, and if we act as if it's not true, if we act as if it's on the basis that it's not real, then we might as well stop asking this question. Forget about this question. So here's the thing that I think most of the time we forget. We forget this one singular thing which is true about God, that God is a relational God, that God lives himself in relational community. It's a couple of hundred years after Jesus left and was ascended to heaven, a couple of bright sparks were sitting and thinking, ruminating about God, trying to understand about God, and they realized, oh my goodness, God is in three parts, and we now call it the Trinity. God is in community himself, and he calls us to be in that same community, invites us into the family of God. God seeks constantly more relationships, and that is in part one of the reasons why we were created, to be in relationship with God. Now, when the event known as the fall happened, when Adam ate the tomato or apple or whatever it was he ate, and when we choose now not to pursue a relationship with God, and when we choose to walk our own way, God doesn't just simply wash his hands of us and abandon us. God didn't say, well, good luck out there in humanity land. Have a great time. Hope you guys are all good, because you're not going to be. In fact, the opposite is true. So if you read through the history of the Bible, you can see God constantly, over and over and over again, searching out relationships with humanity, calling us back, saying, come, let me connect with you, find that relationship again. So this is the presupposition that we need to work from if we are to find God's will for our life and hear his voice. We have to assume in faith that God is working all around us, around you, all the time. Often when we think that God is working around, we hear that God is working around us, we think, oh yes, of course, there's really important, special Christian people around, and God is working around their life too. That's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us God is working around you, all of us, all the time. And sometimes we think, well, I've done something, I've been really sinful, or I've done some things that would naturally exclude myself from God's love in my life. And again, that's not true. Have a look at the heroes of the Bible and see the things they've done in their past, and yet God still engages with them. We heard the story Simone read to us already from Exodus, from Moses' story. This is probably what Moses thought, that he had his chance, and he'd ruined his chance for ever engaging with God again, and yet he encounters God in this burning bush. Why would God do this? Why would God speak to Moses and use Moses to speak to others? Why would God speak to me and use me? Simply because it's God's nature to love, and the truth is there that God loves us. God loves the Israelites, and so he sends Moses to be their advocate and eventual leader to rescue him from slavery. And since that time, God's love has not diminished one little bit. So, combine these two things together from my first point, that God is active in this world, and God is pursuing a loving relationship with you, and you are set up for success to know the will of God in your life. My second point. God invites you to be involved in his work and will speak to you. From the very beginning of time, God has been working, and right down through history, God is working to accomplish his purposes. God has plenty of things to do, let me tell you. God's not bored. He's got a whole pile of stuff on his agenda. In fact, God enacts things so that his will comes into reality. He makes things happen. Now again, another presupposition. It is that God wants you to work alongside of him. In fact, God asks you to do just that. God is the ultimate team player. He invites you into what he's doing in the world. But here's a sticking point that a whole pile of people don't seem to understand or get. God is not waiting for you to come up with a bright idea, a magnificent vision, and waiting for you then to ask for God's help to fulfill it. When God invites us to be involved with him, it's to achieve his goals, which he already has, not our goals. So, a big part of hearing the voice of God and knowing the will of God for our lives is becoming less about me and more about God. Less self-centered and more God-centered. God's desire is to move us from where we are to where God is already working. And remember, first point, God is working all around us all the time. I hope this makes sense to you, as this is one of the hinges that changes our perspective. It is one of the big clues that we have been looking for. When God spoke to Moses, it was, "Moses, here is my plan. I want you to be a part of it." Now, if you know anything about the Moses story, 40 years ago, Moses tried his plan. And forever after, he was called a murderer. He failed in his plan. But God's plan, we know the outcome of that, don't we? Of course, to know what God wants you to do means that God is speaking to you. And my constant assertion is that God is always speaking. It's just that we are not always listening. Sometimes we are just too preoccupied. Other times it's that we're not tuned in. Sometimes it's because we're not looking for it. So let me tell you a secret. Okay, this is the secret of hearing God's voice. Are you ready for it? You'll be, in a moment, you'll be absolutely stunned at my brilliance in bringing you this secret. Are you ready to hear the secret, to hear God's voice? You want to lean forward in your seats, ready? I'll whisper quietly. Read your Bible. Save the applause for later. That's fine. That's right, to read your Bible on a regular basis in a quiet place and reflect upon it, you will hear the voice of God. Over and over again, whenever surveys are done or whenever polling's done or whenever we try to work out what it is, what's the essence to hearing God's voice, number one comes up on the top is reading the Bible. In fact, it's the number one way in which how we grow in our faith as well. If you want to grow closer to God, read your Bible. It's funny those two things are linked together, isn't it? That story where Moses comes face to face with God is a story that actually includes you. The Holy Spirit takes that narrative and makes it alive, applies it alive to you even at this moment, as the Holy Spirit does to the whole of Scripture. So honestly, here we go. Honestly, I challenge you. Call me out on this. Test me. I give you a month to test me. Read your Bible every day for a month in a quiet place and reflect upon it. And come and tell me if God hasn't spoken to you. Test me and see. Third thing. God brings you to a crossroad of which one path will require faith and action from you. But here's the thing. If you hear God's voice and you get an invitation to work with God, it will challenge you. So if you don't want to hear God's voice, if you want to live your normal everyday life, could I say boring life, the unchallenging life, the same old comfortable life you've been living for so many years, then I'll tell you what, don't read your Bible. True, because you'll be challenged and things might have to change. Leave it alone. Constantly hearing God's voice will upset your life and it will take you away from me and it will make you God-centered and it will take you into new places. This is why I gave the heading to point three like I have. Hearing God's voice will bring you to a crossroad where you'll have to choose. And that choice will require you to act in faith. And faith, I often equate the word faith to the word risk. Faith, risk that you've truly heard God's voice, and faith, risk that God knows what he's doing. And so I risk taking that big step that God is there and there's something under my feet and that God knows what he's up to. Moses faced exactly this. He had to choose. He could have walked away, but he chose to take the very difficult part. I mean, you heard how many times he says, oh, but. He was trying to get out of it, but in the end he couldn't. He chose to take the difficult path of faith, to risk that he knew, that God knew what he was up to, that God was actually God. Moses had to reorient all that he was doing to accomplish what God had asked him to do. And so the question, the same question comes to us. Are we willing to risk knowing that God knows what he's doing? That in fact, the plans that you have for yourself that are different to the ones that God has for you are actually wrong and God's are right. And then in fact, he might even know the future. The reason this question, are we willing to risk, is important is because of point four. Point four, you increasingly come to know God by personal experience as you obey him and as he accomplishes his work through you. It's as simple as this. The more you hear God's voice and the more that you act on it and the more that you obey what he's saying to you, the more you will know God. But it makes sense, doesn't it? Are you with me? It makes sense. And I hope you hear the profound truth that is here. It's very simple, but incredibly profound. By obeying what you already know about God and what God is saying to you, you will come to know God more and more. Simply, what you're doing is bringing yourself under the influence of God. So here's the thing. All of us know something of what God wants us to do in our lives. All of us know something of what God wants us to do in our lives. It might be that there's someone in our workplace that we need to be far kinder to or a sphere of influence, that we need to treat with a lot more dignity and a lot more respect. It might be that I've challenged you this morning and that you need to tithe your income. It might be that you need to share faith with somebody around you. All of us know something God is asking us to do. But you see, when you act on it, what we already know about who God is and what God is forming us to be and what God is asking us to do, then we move ourselves closer to and getting to know God and getting to know God in our lives. You see, when you do what God asks you to do, you will actually experience a portion of God's power and presence. And over time, you increasingly know who God is, how God relates to you, and how God works through you. This is why I started off today with this loving relational aspect of who God is. When you work in with what he's asking you to do, you get to know God more. And if you read the story of Moses, you can't help but see that Moses understood God more and more. And the more that Moses trusted God, the more that God entrusted him with more things and he knew God. You look from when Moses is early on until the end of his life, how much more he knew God. Extraordinary. Now, not all of us will have a burning bush experience, but all of us at some time or another will have an encounter with God. God is constantly seeking your attention. And every now and again, things align and you will have an encounter with God. But you get to choose what you do with it. You get to choose how that relates to you. You get to choose what path you take from that. Now, I suspect in the answer to this question, How do we know the will of God? Some of us would rather have a far more complicated answer to know the will of God in our lives and to hearing the voice of God. Some of us would rather it be far more complicated. So we could say it is way too hard. It's actually not too hard. It's actually really simple. The hard bit is doing it. It's not too hard to find the will of God. It's not too hard to hear the voice of God. The hard bit for Western culture is letting go of the me-centered ambience and trusting that God has a perfect plan for my life. These four things are very simple. Let me read them to you again. God is at work around us and pursuing a loving relationship with us, with you. God invites you to be involved in his work and will speak to you. God brings you to a crossroad in which one path will require faith and action from you. And fourth, you will increasingly come to know God by personal experience as you obey him and as he accomplishes his work through you. If you put yourself into a place where God can speak to you, guess what's going to happen? He will. It's as simple as that. And your choice is what do you do with it? Now, today at the end of the service, we have a couple of options for you. It's Communion Sunday, and so our prayer team would love to pray with anybody who would like prayer, and we'll do that over there on this side. We have the Mission Expo, and I'd love you to see what we do as part of Seeds, and I'd love you to see what people of Seeds do to serve the community, so I'd love you to be part of that. The third thing, if you really want to, and we can pick this up again next week and the week after, is that there'll be a number up on the screen. And if you have any questions relating to what I've said today, not why do I wear brown shoes or anything like that, but anything relating to today, and you want to text them, if there's any questions, then I'm going to sit here and I'll answer those questions at the end of the service, after I've pronounced the end of the service. I'd much prefer you to go and have a look at the expo. I'm not trying to wimp out of what I've said. But if you've got any questions, and we'll pick up this next week as well, then I'm most happy to answer them. Here's the deal. Like I've already said it several times, the simple thing is not knowing the will of God, not discovering the will of God. It's not some great mystery that's a fog all around it. No, it's simple. God is always speaking to us. If you put yourself in the place, you will hear the voice of God. It's what you want to do with it after that. That's where the really rubber hits the road. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you continue to speak. That's extraordinary. You didn't just start us up and wash your hands of us and let us go. Even when we make mistakes constantly, you don't just wash your hands of us and say, well, you're on your own now, I can't do it anymore. You say, I love you. I want to relate to you. In fact, I want to work you into my plan in this world. We thank you for that. Help us have ears that are attuned to what you're saying. But also, help us have the faith to trust you, that your ways are the best, that your ways are good for us. They bring meaning and purpose, they healing and wholeness to the world around us. Lord, give us that ability, we pray. In your name we ask. Amen.